Have your Bible or your device along. You're welcome to turn there. Luke chapter 19, verse 37. Patty Brozo writes, My collection of vintage kitchen utensils included one whose intended purpose was always a mystery. It looked like a cross between a metal slotted spoon and a spatula, so I used it for both. When not in use, it's prominently displayed in a decorative ceramic utensil caddy in my kitchen. The mystery of the spoon spatula was recently solved when I found one of its original packaging at a rummage sale. Turns out, it's a pooper scooper. Now, just the opposite is true of most people. We were created for a much greater purpose, but a lot of people choose rather to be used as a pooper scooper. They drink in a lot of filth. They think filthy thoughts. Obscenities pour out of them wherever they go. If only they could discover their intended purpose. This is what God expected you to be. If only they could find that will of God in their lives, then they would graduate to heaven rather than spend eternity in torment. Now is the time. Today is the day. Embrace God's grace. Let go of your sinful ways and embrace the Lord. Now is the time. Today is the day. Luke chapter 19, verse 37. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Father, help us today. May we hear the word. May we see what you have done for us. May we take advantage of this opportunity. Lord, we have this problem. Our minds wander. It gets filled with stuff. We get distracted so easy, but we're praying for a miracle here this morning, that every single word will hit home. Every one of your words will strike its target in our mind and in our heart. That it'll be as though you and I are the only ones in the building. And I will hear very clearly what you're saying to my heart. And then may we respond in kind, God. May this be a life-changing day, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus had been ministering throughout Israel for approximately 3 years. During the first part of that stint, his popularity just soared exponentially. He was healing, he was delivering. People thronged to him to see that their needs would get met, but also because he was the greatest teacher that they had ever heard. Just to be part of the meetings was so very special. But in time, his followers slacked as he began to turn the tables and call for a deeper commitment from them. He was looking for a people. He was looking for a troop. He was looking for those who would be loyal and who would serve. So by the time we get to the triumphal entry, by the time we get to where he is riding into Jerusalem on his donkey, we have a divided crowd. There were those that were working to make him king, and there were those who wanted to see him killed. Even his enemies recognized his power. They had studied his miracles. They found out they were true. In fact, one of the things they hated most about him was that he was so perfect, so wise, so powerful. Every objection they had, he answered. Always came out on top of any argument. But of course, that's why his followers loved him so much too. He was so perfect. so wise, so powerful. So both groups had those within them that were convinced Jesus was coming to Jerusalem to claim his throne. That's why he's coming. So the opposition got beefed up. But so did those that loved him. Many rushed out to show their support for the Lord. They broke off palm branches and they waved them in the air as they shouted their praise. They put their coats down on the path so the donkey's hooves wouldn't even have to touch the dirt. And they became so exuberant, so extravagant in their praise that some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Hey, quiet your disciples. This is not fitting that they should give such praise to a man." And Jesus turned and said, "I tell you, if they stay quiet, the very stones will cry out praise." And as I was studying this passage, I kind of got stuck right there. I thought, wow, wouldn't that be something? The stones begin to sing out the praise of God. Why would the Lord say, if the people weren't praising me today, then the rocks and the hills would begin to cry out? I see two reasons. First of all, this was the day the sacrificial lambs for the Passover were set aside. Coming into Jerusalem was a stream of lambs, one-year-old lambs, getting ready for sacrifice. There was a special lamb set aside for the sin of Israel, but there were many lambs that would be sacrificed this week for the Passover meals for so many families that were coming. So there was a flood of lambs coming in. They were being led in, they were being carted in, and they had to be perfect. They had to be right. But there was one special lamb coming in on this day. The second reason I see is everyone there needed a clear witness to exactly who Jesus is. Let's talk about that second reason first. Everyone there needed a clear witness to exactly who Jesus is. Verse 37 says, "When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for the miracles they had seen." These people had tasted the power of God for themselves. They knew who Jesus was, or at least had a very strong suspicion of it. So an opportunity was being given to all of Israel to receive her king. An opportunity that would have saved her. An opportunity that would have changed history. An opportunity that would have changed how governments and kings and nations are made. Couldn't we have used Jesus this last week in the world? Cruise missiles sent to Syria. Half the world cheers, and the other half gets ready for war. And those who support it have their doubts. And those who doubt it, they support it a little bit. How many would like to be president? How many would like to make those decisions? It's very easy from the comfort of our living room. But how different the world would have been if the nation of Israel would have received her king on that day. The screaming fans that morning had seen and experienced Jesus' miracles. And they were witnesses to the rest of the crowd. Here he comes. No one else like him. He is the one, the anointed one, sent from God to save us. They were witnesses to the fact that Jesus is Messiah, Savior, King of Kings. Those who had not witnessed his power firsthand had a God-given right to hear the truth. Do you get that? They needed to hear. They needed to know, who is this guy? What is this all about? I need to find out. There are some people who are news hounds, and they have to know every detail about everything. They'll investigate to the nth degree. And there are other people who are just kind of busy in their own life and they go on their way. They hadn't gone out to hear Jesus. They hadn't followed him anywhere. They hadn't been a part of any of his meetings. Maybe they had no dynamic need that only he could meet. But now's their opportunity. They're at a festival. They're at a celebration. And the crowd is all stirred up. You cannot help but hear something about this Jesus. And you're going to form your opinion based on what you're hearing. If you grew up in a family that was anti-Jesus, you're probably in the opposition party. If you're out there and somebody close to you had been healed, had been delivered, well then, hey, you're pro-Jesus all the way. But there was all this scuttlebutt going back and forth. There were these little backroom arguments going on. Who is this guy? That was the greatest question of the day. And it came down to a personal understanding inside each individual. This guy riding past them on a donkey was their only chance ever at salvation, at making it to heaven. One day, every one of those people would stand before the judgment seat of God and have to give an answer for their life. Not one of them were sinless. Not one of them had earned a place in heaven. This was it. This guy is riding past us on a donkey, and you have to make a choice. Either you are going to accept what he is going to do for you, or you're just going to rely on your own record, which is already in the toilet. The wages of sin is death. You sin, you die. There is none righteous, no, not one. This Jesus riding on a donkey was their only hope. And they had a right to hear who he is. Wouldn't it have been a shame if they were distracted and they were busy somewhere else? And they were not part of those that could hear what was going on. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Wouldn't it be a shame if God himself stepped down from his throne, was born as a baby in a manger, had lived 30 couple years among people like us, lived a sinless life, and then was crucified on a cruel cross. If all that happened, and oops, I didn't know. I never heard. God did that much to bring salvation to us, and then he entrusts you and I with the responsibility to let everybody know. Some of the people had a front row seat. They had experienced his power. They had looked right into his eyes, but that didn't happen to everybody. But for those it happened to, they had a responsibility to let their neighbors know. What do you think the Lord would feel about somebody who experienced his power and his grace and his authority, and then they just went home and were quiet about it? The only chance their neighbors had was if they would have let their lights, oh, maybe the neighbors would have shut them down. Maybe most of the neighborhood would have. But maybe there was a little boy or a little girl who would have listened, who would have said, yes, I believe that's true. I want that Savior as my very own. The Assemblies of God has declared the basic human right of every person is to hear the gospel. Would you say that's true? What's more important? I am all for fresh water for everybody. Let's help missionaries and so on put wells in villages so people can get fresh, clean drinking water. I'm all for feeding the poor. Let's make sure that they have enough to survive. I love when we send our missions teams out with doctors and dentists and eye care and all those kinds of things. All that is true. I believe that's of God. But what profited a man if he should be healthy and well-fed but never finds out that guy riding down the road on that donkey was my only chance, and nobody bothered to tell me. I read a book not too long ago of a gentleman. He's become an evangelist now. He loves the Lord, but he grew up in Pakistan, and he went to a Catholic school. He was educated in a Catholic school, and he never heard the name of Jesus the whole way through. Doesn't that sound absurd to you? And I'm not picking on Catholics. We Christians, we can get caught up in social things, social agendas. We think that education is so important, and it is. We think that feeding people is so important, and it is. But there is nothing more important than a person understanding, I have one shot at life, and his name is Jesus. And shame on us if we get to the other side and we hear many people saying, I didn't know. Nobody ever told. I lived next to that guy, I don't know how long. And he never told me how important this one decision in my life was. So that's why the rocks would have cried out on that day, hey, if they're not going to tell you, we'll tell you. This is no ordinary man coming down the road this day. Back to this, to the first reason. The day the sacrificial lambs for Passover were set aside. Down this very same road, down this very same path, coming largely from Bethlehem, were the lambs that had been raised and prepared for Passover sacrifice. And as those lambs were, when Jesus came with his crowd, probably there were lambs in the mix. There were lambs in front, there were lambs behind. Do you get that picture? These, every year at Passover, thousands of lambs came down that road. And all of them pointed to one lamb, the one lamb that was worthy, the one that would be able to take away sin forever. Those other lambs were only a type to show purity, to show innocence. The innocent would die for the guilty. But now, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the Lion and the Lamb. The Father was so proud of the Son. He did it. He won. He lived sinless. And now he showed up for the day of sacrifice. The Father was so proud of the Son. This had to be marked with praise. And if the people would not have marked it, the Father would have seen that it was marked in a very special way. Those loyal to Jesus did a good job of proclaiming and worshiping. Unfortunately, not many in the opposition were moved. A few certainly, but not many. They stood staunch. They stood opposed. Verse 41 reads, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. As the crowd cheered, Jesus wept. Can you think of anything more horrific than is described in our text? Jesus was able to look ahead and see exactly what was going to happen to these people in 30, 35 years from this event. The Romans came in AD 70. They surrounded, laid siege, and then they destroyed the city. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. Before your very eyes, you would see your children taken and smashed against the rocks until they were dead. I'm told that before they destroyed the walls around Jerusalem, they crucified 300 of the leading higher-ups of Israel. 300 of them along the walls. Those who did survive were carried away as slaves. Jesus saw this. He begins to cry. He begins to weep over them as he sees what's good. They're cheering for him, but he's caught up. The city that he loves, these people he is trying to reach, trying to minister to, he has spoken, he has worked. But he knows what's in the hearts of most of them. Verse 44 says, all this would happen to them because they did not recognize the time of God's coming to them. Catch that. Jesus was right there. He was among them. He had come to them. They didn't recognize him. That error in judgment would cost them their souls as well as their physical lives. The Bible says, the end will not come until all people hear the message of the gospel. It is the basic human right of every person to hear what Jesus did for us and the opportunity that's open to us. Some people are privileged to hear about Jesus over and over again throughout their lifetime. Their parents took them to Sunday school. They heard it on the television. They've heard it on the radio. They've heard friends talk about it. They've been to church themselves. Over and over again, there is this opportunity that is given. Receive the Lord, receive the Lord, receive the Lord. How will it be on judgment day for those who heard it over and over and over again, and yet they resisted, they resisted, they resisted? You have a choice to accept him or reject his offer of life. For those who receive him, the Bible says, but for as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You become the children of God when you receive the Lord. I heard the other day where one of our evangelists was saying, you know, we do people a great disservice when all we preach to them is God loves you. God loves you, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you, until people are pickled in it. And they just are convinced, well, it doesn't matter what I do, it doesn't matter who I am, it doesn't matter how I respond, God just loves me. Ah, isn't that wonderful? He is the Lamb of God, but he's also the Lion of Judah. And there will come a judgment day. He has done everything he can to bring salvation to us. But we must respond to God's call to his cross. For those who do not recognize him, for those who choose another path, another Lord, there is only death and torment. The high priests that opposed Jesus that day pushed their own agenda until they saw him nailed on a cross by the end of that week. It looked as though the opposition had won. It looked as though they were right. But even as Jesus hung there, suspended between heaven and earth, the sky grew dark as night. There was a terrible earthquake. Graves were split open so that some saintly people who had died were seen alive and walking around. The veil in the temple between the holy place and the holy of holies was rent in two from top to bottom. It was enough to terrify the staunchest of Jesus' opponents. Even the centurion that kept watch by Jesus' cross said, surely he was the Son of God. Jesus had come. He displayed his power. He revealed his heart. And he asked Israel to choose. So some chose to follow him. Others chose to crucify him. Now their day is over. Their fate is sealed. They're not going to have another chance. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. This is your day to decide. Jesus extends his hand of salvation to you through us. Maybe you haven't experienced his grace. Maybe you haven't felt his power. Many of us here have. We were lost. We were undone. But oh, what Jesus did for us. And so we are here today to witness to you, to witness to this community. He is worthy. He is able. He is gracious to save. You have a right to hear that he died for your sins on the cross and offers you forgiveness and life. You have a right to know that to reject him has eternal consequences that are horrific. You have a right to know that if you choose him today, he expects your praise, your service, and your heart. He is worthy. And that's why judgment is so terrible. To be given an opportunity for life and to say, no, thank you. To say, oh, no, I won't receive that. I'll do it on my own. To reject what God has so sweetly given to us deserves the torment that is coming. Jesus is the only worthy sacrificial lamb ever found. He alone can rescue. He alone can save. You have a right to know. You've heard it here this morning. And in just a moment, we actually have a visual for you to drink in. We've got a team that is coming to display to you exactly what Jesus has done for us. And the Bible implores you to choose life. Choose Jesus. It is as if Jesus were coming right up our aisle this morning. As if displayed before your very eyes would be his love, his care, his plea to you. Don't hold out any longer, but yield to the Lord. Let him have your life. Let him have your soul. Do you have a plan B? Do you have another way? There's only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's the name of Jesus. This morning, if you're not, your heart's not where it needs to be, let this be the day, let this be the time that you receive him as your Savior.